main man now joining us on the program, the great Phil Martelli. You bow your head when you say that name. He brings to the table, and he brings the four-star stuff, as they say in the trade, from the city of brotherly love. And Coach Martelli is the chair of the NCAA Basketball Ethics Committee, and he's a friend of this program. And you'll have to excuse him if he lost his voice, because he was up last night in the bottom of the ninth and then the bottom of the tenth, cheering on the Philadelphia Phillies as they swept a doubleheader from your Florida Marlins, stretching their insurmountable lead over the Atlanta Braves in the Eastern Division. Coach Martelli, do you plead guilty to all the above?
I'm guilty of all the above. The only thing is I was not watching, but I was listening on the radio as I came back from a charity talk that I gave in Cincinnati last night. I followed the early game because it was a split day night doubleheader. I followed the early game before I got on the flight. And then when I got home, a guy on the flight, I heard him talking to somebody at home, and he said they're down 4-2. And I checked my phone. I said, no, they just tied it. And I got to the car to listen to the 10th inning. But I was yelling.
Well, you agree with
wonderful team.
That Scott Fransky is a wonderful broadcaster, a wonderful young, fresh voice covering baseball. The Phillies have gotten themselves a gem in that young man. He is tremendous. He and Larry Anderson, it took Larry a while to grow on me. At first I thought he sounded like a guy, I don't know, it's hard to describe his voice, but together, those guys have grown on me, Coach Martelli. Do you feel me?
Oh, I got you. I got you through and through. With this team, it's chilling because I remember back when there was no baseball in this town, and now all of a sudden there is, and it's really special.
It is so fun. I cherish every moment of this run of my Philadelphia Phillies. Hey, I got to tell you something. I cherished every moment of the Bruce Pearl era, because you know the thing you learn when something special happens, and you had those kids on campus several years ago, two of whom are fixtures in the NBA game, and one thing you learn in sports is that every dog has its day, and those days come and go, and as a fan or you're involved in it, you have to take the time to enjoy it, don't you?
Absolutely. The challenges that we all face, and we all face them, they're big challenges. But there's people out there facing real world challenges that ours don't compare to. So when you get an opportunity, you need to cherish the job that you have. You need to cherish those that you represent, and you need to. You need to understand that there's things a lot bigger than each of us going on in your community and probably across the street and next door to you.
Absolutely, no question. And I know you try to make it better every day for many people in your community. I know you were doing some stuff yesterday up in the Queen City. Let me ask you something, Coach Martelli. And, you're a longtime friend of the show. I see next to you chair of the NCAA Basketball Ethics Committee, and I will submit to you, Coach, I didn't realize there were ethics in major college basketball.
I was having this discussion before, Tony. What happens is the improprieties, the black marks that occur, I'm going to be conservative and say they occur monthly, they paint all of us with the brush, and no one has the right to do that. So whether it happens in college football or it happens in major college basketball, everybody assumes that all do it that way. And with this ethical coalition, we don't have any power, nor do we want any power legislatively. We don't want any power judiciously. What we really want to do is we want to start spreading the word that there's one way to do this, and the one way to do this is the right way. Because you do carry on something greater than your name, your program's name, and your school name. You carry on that title of coach, you don't have the right in any way, shape, or form to besmirch that.
How concerned are you about major college basketball right now, Coach Martelli, and specifically, you know, I look at the Southeastern Conference and talking to a guy in this league the other day, and he said, listen, he said, here's the difference between the guys who stay and the guys that don't. He said, the guys who stay play in the gray area and sometimes bend the rules, cheat. The guys that don't come here, they come here with, they are extremely idealistic. They think I can do this without cheating. I can do this the right way. And those guys get flushed out of the system. And he was extremely jaded about this, but I think there's probably some real-world sensibilities to what he's saying. So against that backdrop, how concerned are you with the profession of major college basketball right now?
I think that's the right word. I think concerned. I'm not Chicken Little concerned. I don't believe that the sky is falling, because I do believe that a very small percentage of guys shade this thing and twist this thing and justify this thing. And I think that the overwhelming majority, and really the silent majority, are day after day fighting the fight, trying to become the best coach that they can become, to prepare their teams, to recruit their future teams, and also to be a name and face and voice for their universities. I think we have to do more. I think that we have to, and I will say this, Tony, I think that the profession is getting younger and younger and younger and younger, because everybody wants to find the next Brad Stevens. Everybody wants to find the next Shaka Smart. So as we get younger, I think it's even more important that not cooler heads, but that people understand that there's a big picture out here. And the big picture is we have a wonderful game that impacts lives, and we don't have the right to kind of paint it, you know, bright pink, because that's our favorite color. Sometimes you have to give of yourself so that the greater good is achieved.
Coach, what happened here at Tennessee with Bruce Pearl? Obviously a wildly talented guy, obviously a great promoter, obviously a great voice for college basketball. Obviously his voice has been somewhat muted, if not tainted, by what's happened here. Do you believe that if, in fact, the NCAA pulls him out with a show cause letter for a couple of years, is that just? Is that going to, do you believe, stop some of the things, because it looks like we're seeing a move afoot here where the NCAA is going after coaches more than institutions.
You're dead on with regard to, you know, everybody I'm sure in Tennessee is going to hear institutional control until they're tired of hearing about institutional control. But I do believe when Tom Izzo is suspended for a game for a camp worker, when Jim Calhoun is suspended next year for games, when Bruce Pearl was suspended this year, even though that was by the SEC, coaches need to get the message, that, and head coaches need to get the message. And I'm going to suggest that you're going to start hearing more and more about a piece of legislation that is called head coach control. And a head coach is in control. And for years and years and years, when there wasn't talk radio, when there wasn't 24-hour sport channels, there was a lot going on, and there were people answering questions by the NCAA. And sometimes the answer was, I didn't know. Well, that no longer is valid for a head coach. A head coach has to and will be held accountable for each and every activity that takes place in his program. So what's going to happen with Bruce Pearl? I just don't know enough about the case itself, other than, you know, what you read. But I'm sure if there's a show cause letter, he's going to count on friends, really, if that's the way that he gets back in. Or does he go the route of a Kelvin Sampson and go to the NBA? I don't know Bruce well enough to say that.
Is it fair, do you think? I mean, the thing about his situation is assistant coaches get caught in the crossfire, too.
Yeah, that's,
everybody gets
that's
caught
the
in the
difficult.
Crossfire.
Well, Tony, I'll say this to you.
Go ahead.
I'll answer that question in two ways. Assistant coaches and their families pay an awful price to be in this business, because, you know, 60 guys changed jobs this year, whether some were fired or some relocated or whatever would be. But each of us has, you know, three full-time assistant coaches. Each of us has a director of basketball operations. Each of us has a video coordinator. Each of them have a family. This isn't a coach as a lone wolf anymore. And, you know, when coaches are let go with time on their contract, a lot of us have good representation that we're going to be all right financially. We may not be all right emotionally, psychologically, because we've failed at our pursuit of excellence. But all of those anonymous assistant coaches and their families and their children are so dramatically impacted by firings, by situations that occur, like you're mentioning, at Tennessee. I have been amazed, I will say from afar, I have been amazed. It seems that a couple of those guys have landed on their feet, and I would not have bet you on that 3 months ago.
You know, Coach, from a case in point, I was talking to Tony Jones the other day on the show, you know, was Pearl's lead assistant here, and mm-hmm. Tony said that represent himself before the NCAA, it was assumed by some listeners and some people in our community that he was going to get representation and, you know, for the university because it was all the university. He said, uh-uh. He said, I'm paying probably going to be over $20,000 when it's all said and done of my own money. And, you know, he didn't get the sweetheart buyout like you're talking about, you know, with
right.
quality representation. And so my question for you is, do you think under this head coach control deal that they're going to start shifting a lot more of the blame to the head coaches?
Absolutely.
And away from the assistants? Because let's face it, whenever we are the age of reason and we get in trouble, human nature is to say, oh, no, that person did it, and I didn't know. I find mm-hmm. it hard to believe that a head coach would not know what's going on his staff with recruiters. I don't buy that, Phil. I don't know about you.
Well,
I don't
I'm going to say to you the same. You're not talking to somebody that buys that anyway. This is day in and day out. I think that we are all responsible for every piece of our program. There's no getting around that, in my opinion. So I'm not a buyer of that one, Tony.
Hey,
and for a long time, I think that was acceptable.
Here, the academians see a vacuum and are trying to fill it. And there's always a tug of war that goes on at the university level between the sports and the academians. And I think there's a happy medium there. I think there's a balance that can be struck.
Mm-hmm.
But here things are getting out of balance. Do you think that's a concern in a spot like Tennessee where something like this goes down and folks see the opportunity, the academians, to jump in there and swing the pendulum too far the other way?
Yeah, I do fear that there'll be a look. You and I have both been raised in a situation where we've been on a playground and somebody clips us with a bow or somebody hits you with a takeout slide or an illegal block playing pick up football or whatever it would be. I do think that we have to be very, very careful, in not overreacting. I fear it, and, I do think that cooler heads can and will prevail as we go forward. But that is certainly, everybody needs to be alert to the fact that that is, a possibility here.
Coach Martell, you're absolutely outstanding. What can I say? At the end of it all, give me your thoughts on Konzo Martin, who was just hired at Tennessee, from your dealings, his reputation. This guy seems
his
like
his reputation is impeccable.
Yeah.
He is very much into player development, which I think will bode well for the future at Tennessee. And he's in the deep end of the water. I mean, you know, there's nobody that takes a day off in that league, whether it's coaching, recruiting, or promoting. But Tennessee's in good hands.
Hey, Coach, whenever you're on this show, we're in great hands, and I thank you for joining us. And our Philadelphia Phillies, how many wins are we looking at this year, in your humble opinion?
I think we're probably looking at 101.
Unbelievable. For a team that does not hit the baseball.
No, they're not hitting the ball.
At times, these guys drive me nuts. Chase Utley, him being back in that lineup, he came back from day one just about. They started hitting the ball, even though he wasn't hitting the ball. That game is so mental. I don't even know where to start. And you're my man, Coach.
He's a mean-spirited dude, too. So that's a beautiful, beautiful thing for Philadelphia.
Thank you, my friend. And,
all right.
Great
talk to you, Tony. Thank you.
Thank you. Phil Martelli, who's chairing your ethics committee in the NCAA for basketball. He said that in his experience, there is a concern for the pendulum to swing back, and the academians try to seize control in situations like Tennessee. Said that Konzo Martin's reputation is impeccable. Impeccable. Says, though, that he is definitely diving in at the deep end at Tennessee. Great stuff there from Phil Martelli. He said, get ready for the term. Get ready. Get ready for the term. He said, you're going to start hearing it very shortly from the NCAA. Maybe with this Pearl case, head coach control. He said the term institutional control has been introduced in our lexicon for several years. Head coach control is coming, and I agree with that. You going to sit around and blame Mike Hamilton? Are you kidding me? It's a head coach's deal, man. Head coach's deal. Thank you, Coach Martelli. Brief timeout, more after this.